saints. We have lots to be happy for this morning, don't we? Amen. Let's stand. This kind of goes with the song we just sang, Everybody Will Be Happy. It's 311 in your hymn book. There's a happy brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. happy over there. Everybody will be happy, oh, will be happy over there. I know we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing round that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. God bless you this morning. Certainly good to be in service again together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Good to see all the home folks and all the visitors as well. Good to have you with us. Just wanted to say a few things before we go into the prayer requests. Wanted to thank everybody that helped with and participated in the pitch-in meal yesterday. Certainly enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed the food, and what a wonderful time it was in the Lord. And I also wanted to announce, Lord willing, tonight we will be having an evening service. Brother Wes will be preaching for us here this evening at 6:30, but due to the special meetings, we'll be omitting the communion and foot washing, so we will not be having a communion and foot washing service, but we will be having just a regular service this evening, so I want to be looking forward to that and remember that in prayer. And Brother Layton had told me this morning the Strunks, which is some family of his from Arizona, one of his nieces, their neighbor's home, they got word, was destroyed by fire, but theirs was untouched. Amen. So he's still a present help. Amen. So we're thankful that we still have a Goshen that we can get into in this day. And we've got a lot of prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Want to continue to remember Brother Jason Watkins. He's in Moscow preaching this weekend for special meetings. And also want to remember Brother Sievert's camp that's going up, going on around near Indianapolis. And those that are traveling to the meetings and things like that. Brother Daniel Cooley asked to please pray for a good family friend, Mike Arnold. He's having lung failure and is on life support. And also a good customer of Brother Daniel's, Buster Neely, has stage 4 brain cancer. And doctor's only giving him a few months to live. So certainly want to remember that request and prayer. And Sister Sarah Gaddy said to please pray for an elderly woman. Her name is Violet. She's been taken to the hospital. She had a stroke this morning. So I want to just remember her, that the Lord will come on the scene and give her a touch from him. Also, there's a prayer request for, says please pray for Tim Dabney. He has been in the hospital due to allergies. So I want to remember him in prayer. And Brother Layton asked that we remember him this morning. He's not feeling well. Also, Sister Faith Neighbors requesting prayer for her mother, who's battling pain in her legs and feet. And she's been, I guess, dealing with that for months now. And the doctors are contemplating vein surgery to alleviate that problem. So we want to remember her in prayer. We know the Lord's able to do these things, to come on the scene and heal. I remember Sister Sizemore, she was in a similar case just recently, and the doctors were going to do surgery because she wasn't having circulation in her legs due to the veins in her arteries, or the veins in her legs being closed, the main arteries. And we had prayer for her, and when they went back to do some more tests, they said some other arteries that are normally closed opened up and bypassed those arteries. So God's able to come on the scene.
Amen.
Amen. He's still the great physician. Amen. He's a present help. Brother Joel, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? I know that there's many requests. How many of you with the raising of your hand would say, I've got an unspoken request too, I'm a heart that I'd like to bring before the Lord? He knows all about each one. He's more than able this morning.
It's just by
bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God, you just know our needs are many, Lord, and great, God, in our eyes. But Lord, nothing's too great for you, Lord God. That's why we bring our needs before you. Bring the saints' needs, God. Lord, seem to be many, Lord, just suffering, Lord. Bodies not quite as well as they would like them to be, Lord. Devil just fighting on every end. Bring them before you, Lord God. Lifting up the saints, God. Brothers and sisters, Lord. Praying that you'll go to them, Lord. Give them a touch, God. Everything they may have need of. Lord, we just pray for Brother Wes as well, Lord God, and everything that he has for us today, God. We're so blessed that he could come and fellowship with us and bring the word, God. Just pray you'd be welcome here, Lord. May your spirit come down and just join with us in our worship. Praise of you, God. Just thank you for everything you do, God. Ask it all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning, saints. As we said last week, we're going to start in Psalm this week. Well, we've been in it for several years, but we're going to start the first chapter of Psalm. So we'll read that in its entirety. It's only six verses. So we'll read that one for the starting in Psalms. And the Lord willing, we'll just work our way through from one all the way to the end. If the Lord tarries that long, if not, we'll know it all by heart when we get up there, I believe, since we will be the word literally. So Psalms 1 this morning, starting with the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God bless you. Please be seated.
This morning we have a special from Sister Layton.
Or two before I shared my father's name, when I got my started for the altar with a longing in my soul. I didn't care what people said or the spirit had control. I just raised my hands to heaven and let God have his way. Oh, praise the Lord, he filled me in that good old-fashioned way.
Time we have a special from Sister Leah and Sister Anna. Brother Nathan had requested that they sing this song this morning, so let's enjoy this. Thank you, Sister Layton. Well done.
Precious are just a song. He's the reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so
thank you, sister. Sure appreciate that. You appreciate our special singing?
Amen.
So beautiful to see talent used for the Lord. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city. Redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll be washed like snow and free from all sin. Shout and howl, we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, awash like snow and free from all sin. Sing redemption stories with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering. Let's stand. Oh, when the redeemed. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear His invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll wash like snow and free from all sin. Story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, oh, wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout
I'm gonna shine, I'm gonna see when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. You love him this morning.
Amen.
Amen. He's certainly good to us, isn't he? Amen. I'm gonna ask Brother West if he'd come at this time. We just want to turn the service over and just let the Lord have his way, whatever he'd have for us this morning through Brother West. And we certainly enjoy the services so far, the youth Bible study Thursday night and the youth service Friday night and the fellowship yesterday and now this morning, this evening, entering into the Word again. Just going to be a wonderful time in the Lord, I believe. And amen. Amen. Sister Stephanie, that song you was playing earlier, in the prayer. Amen. Let's sing that this morning. Oh, there is none like you, no one else. Touch my heart like you do. I could search through all eternity long and find there is none. Oh, there's no one like you. Oh, there is none, no one like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do, Lord. And I could search through all eternity long and find there is none like you, Lord. There is. It again together. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. There's no one else, no one else can touch my heart like you do, Lord. And I can search through all eternity long and find there is none like you. One more time together.
We'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. No, brother, you were right on time. You can imagine how thrilled I was downstairs when he said, well, we'll change things around a little and start back over at Psalm 1. I thought, okay, Lord, you don't have to assure me much more than that. There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. 31,102. Any mathematicians in here want to care to give us odds on him coming up and reading the very verse we were going to open with this morning? I think sometimes God sort of outreaches the odds just a little bit, don't you? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If you've got time, you can turn over to Revelation 3:21. I'm going to read Psalm 1 again while you're doing that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Hallelujah.
May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, you are so mighty in power. You are so grand and so far-reaching, Lord, that there is no end. Lord Jesus, we love you so much because you first loved us. When we get a glimpse into what you have done and how much you care and everything that you do for us, Lord, if we even get a glimpse of that, we have no choice but to fall in love with you. Amen. Lord, I don't have words to describe your beauty and your strength and your might and your wonder. I have no words, Lord, humanly that can attain to that. But I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for this day where we can come together, Lord. In our mortality, we can come together and we can join as one body and worship you and lift you up and praise your name, Lord Jesus. I ask, Father, that you be glorified here this morning, that you set me aside in my humanity and get me out of the way so that you can speak your great love to the people, Lord, and show your great mercy to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I finally figured out what these jackets are for, brother. There's only one reason that a man should wear a jacket in this kind of weather, and that's in case he bends over to pick up his notes and his pants split right before he comes out to preach. He can tie that around his waist. I think that's the only thing. Oh, goodness. I tell you what, some of the things we do to ourselves. Saints, you may be seated. God bless you. Sorry about that, brother. I leak through a little bit every now and then. I would like to... Before we really get started this morning, I would like to thank all of you who've let us enjoy your fellowship and who've accepted. We brought some of our young people up with us this weekend, and we had some more saints that came to join us and bless us with their presence, and, you know, from down home and made a sacrifice to be here because they wanted to support the ministry and they wanted to meet you all and fellowship with you all. And I've told them, you know, a little bit about the wonderful work that's being done in this church. And I think that they were excited to come here and fellowship with you and see that. And you all have been so kind and so gracious. And you invited us to come along on your picnic yesterday. And the fellowship there was just so pure and so sweet. And everyone was so kind. And it was, we had a youth banquet here not long ago. And I was telling the young people that it was like a vision of what the marriage supper will be like, you know. And yesterday was just another piece of that. It just really did my heart good to see the people of God coming together in such harmony and peace and sweetness and kindness. And it's just a rare thing these days. And I want to thank you all for being so gracious. I want to thank Brother Nathan. He makes such sacrifices to be kind to people when they're here visiting. And he's been so good to me and my family. He and Sister Rebecca, they just bend over backwards to accommodate us and to be kind to us. And the thing about it is they don't do it even though it wears them out, and I can tell it wears them out. They're still glad and happy to do it. They're not doing it because they feel obligated. And it's just a blessing, and it's something I feel like I can never quite catch up to Brother Nathan and you all for your great kindness. There's been so many people who have come up and told me, you know, that they were praying for me, that they were, you know, you all support the ministry. You support God speaking through a man, and I want you to know the Lord takes note of that. That's not going to be forgotten. He sees everything that you do. He sees every intention in your heart. He sees every motive, everything that is behind what you do, and you'll be rewarded for it. And I know that's not the reason you do it, but I just want to say that to encourage you. Okay. I want to tell you one more thing. I'm going to try to just ease into this because this morning I realized that the Lord had given me something very important, very powerful, very strong, and I felt like it was a little beyond the measure of gift that he placed in my life or the calling he'd given me. And it seemed, you know, it was kind of like if the first time you jump on a horse, they put you on a stallion, you know. It'd be a little bit nerve-wracking. That's kind of how I feel this morning. So I'm going to try to wind up real slow here. I want to tell you that as a young boy in the church I grew up in, it was very liberal. I've told you all about it. And the sermons were like 20-minute, sort of like devotions, like something you do around the breakfast table. You know, they were about 20 minutes long. They were very soft. They didn't require a lot of change, and they were just sort of a little, you know, just a very non-offensive, non-life-changing kind of thing most of the time. And as a boy, I couldn't really quite understand that, because there was questions in my mind about heaven and hell, about angels and demons, about the gospel. I asked the preacher one time, why don't you ever preach out of the book of Revelation? Because I would try to read it and I didn't understand it. And I'd say, why don't you ever preach out of the book of Revelation? And he'd just kind of give me a little answer and push me on off, you know, and try to stay away from it. And, I didn't realize everything that was involved, and I didn't realize what the real motive was behind those kind of churches. And when the Lord got a hold of me, and really, really got a hold of me, and they put me up to preach on a youth service when I was 8 years old, I didn't preach like the preacher did there. I preached more like the ones I had heard on the radio and things like that, and I gave them sort of a hide-scorching, you know, flesh-scalding kind of fire and brimstone sort of thing. I was, like Brother Branham said, I was kind of an oddball. Didn't really fit in. Didn't feel like, you know, the way I was seeing things in the Scripture and what I heard the Lord Jesus say, I didn't see it matching up with what I saw lived out in most of the people. There were real true saints of God there, don't get me wrong, but in a lot of people, I didn't see what I thought, you know, should be the way of presenting the gospel. And it was disappointing to me. I didn't feel like, you know, at that time that I really could preach like a man should preach, like what I was seeing in the gospel. I felt like, you know, I didn't put it in these words at the time, but looking back on it, I think if John the Baptist had walked in there, it would have tore the people up so bad they couldn't have handled it. And then I went to the Baptist church. And it was a little more, it was a little step higher. And I felt a little more at home. And as the Lord convicted my heart and as I became acquainted with the message, and it got, a brother introduced me to the message, then I realized that the gospel wasn't welcome there either. And there was a wall that the people put up. And it was a difficult wall. It was one I couldn't understand, because when you have a call in your life, you look at the people and you have such a great love for them and such a great concern for their souls. You know, like a shepherd does for his flock. You look at them and you're concerned. And you're thinking, Lord, please, please give me the food for these sheep. Give me what they need, Lord, please. Because that song you were singing when you were gathering up the offering this morning, talking about the people being gathered in, you realize that there are some that are not being gathered in. And it absolutely breaks your heart. It tears you apart. It tears you apart. And that wall was so hard to overcome. And then when I came to the message, I found a place where I could preach the true gospel. Now there are people within the confines of the message who claim to believe the message that still put the wall up when the true gospel comes forth. But for the most people, the true saints of God, they knock that wall down and they let you come right in and they let you preach the truth to them, and they accept it and they pull. And it's such a blessing to a man with a call in his life. And I thank you all for blessing Brother Nathan by pulling on him, by helping him. As you receive the word, you're making him free to preach the word as God gives it to him. And you're not putting up hurdles or obstacles to the Lord speaking to your hearts. And it will help you. Amen. It'll help you to grow stronger, faster, by making sure you're not putting up those walls to the true gospel. And the real true seed of God, they hate that wall. They try to tear it down. Now this morning, I opened it in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I want to talk this morning about the scornful. And this is something, you know, that I have seen so many times. I've seen so many times that, and I knew that it was a hindrance to the gospel. I knew that it didn't please the Lord. Even as a small child, I knew that this didn't please the Lord. When I saw the few strong Christians among the people in the church I grew up in being made fun of by the ones who were scornful. And it just hindered the work of God. It tied God's hands. Faith could not be seen. The move of God could not be felt. The presence of God, for the most part, was not there because the people rejected it and they pushed it out. And a few weeks ago when I was praying and I was asking the Lord, I could see a lot of your faces. I could see many of your faces here because I was studying in preparation for coming here to preach. And I was praying for you all. And I could see the faces of the saints here who are so open and so prayerful and so accepting of the gospel. And I was praying, and the Lord started to show me something. And it kind of scared me at first because I thought, Lord, that sounds like we're going down a corrective path. And that's not my place as a guest minister to come in and to whip another man's sheep. Okay, and then as it went on and it unfolded, I saw that it could be encouraging to the real believers. And I thought, wow, okay. I thought that's how it should be. You know, we're not masochistic in some way where we want to be beat on all the time, but we do want to be driven to the truth. We do want to see it. And we want all the untruth carved off, shaved off, beat off, whatever we got to do to get it off. We want it off so that we can get to God. So I know you all have been prepared well and taught well, and you're under the right kind of ministry. So, you know, I knew that if we can undress the devil and put him naked here in front of us, we can embarrass him to death. Maybe undo him just a little bit, maybe disempower him just a little bit to the people. And I love it when we can just get him down and stomp on him a little bit, as you said, Brother Nathan. This morning I got so bound up. I was just so full. The Spirit was so strong on me, and I was like, Lord, I'm not big enough to handle this. You're going to have to help me, Lord. And I just felt like it was too much for me to handle, you know, to bring the word to the people. And it's such an important thing, I think, you know, that the Lord showed me. And I wanted to, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be so much better if somebody with a little bit better gift could bring it? And one of the sisters said, well, if the Lord gave it to you, he wants you to preach it. And it's going to be okay. You'll be able to do it. And I said, okay. I thought, wow, that little sister helped me more than she knew with those simple words. Scorn, definition of scorn. Let's listen to this. Now, I want you to know, I know I'm doing a lot of preliminary here. Okay, I'm doing a lot of preliminary, so forgive me for that. But I just want you to know, if you'll prepare your heart right now, if you came to another Sunday morning service, and you weren't really, you know, you were busy getting ready. You got here, you got sat down, you took a deep breath, you started singing the songs, but maybe you hadn't really thought about preparing mentally or spiritually. Maybe right now, just in a split second, you could do that. Maybe in just a split second, you can just say, okay, in your heart, you can just say, okay, Lord, speak to me. Because I'll tell you right now, there was a time in my life where I had a stony shell around my heart. And I was possessed by a demon of anger. And I could not figure out how to come free from it. And I was professing to be a Christian. And I would tell my wife, I could walk through the wall as easily as I could open the door and walk through the door. Because this anger is in me and I don't even understand where it's coming from. But I did not want it. I was not nurturing it. I did not want it to be there. I wanted it to go away. I knew that it was making me cold. I knew it was making me angry. I knew it was making me indifferent. I knew it was making me care less about the people around me. I knew that it was taking away the good part of my humanity, the love, the part that God put in there. And I started to see the separation. I started to see how Satan was beginning to control and manipulate me, but I just didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know the true gospel. I was becoming uncaring and unfeeling. I could take my tongue and I could cut somebody to the bone and not feel guilty about it until later, and it would start eating at me. And I was so ashamed of myself, and I did not know what to do about it. I did not know what to do about it. And most of the time, my family was the ones who were the victims, because you can control yourself, you know, when you're when you're out in public, you can be nice and put on a good face, and then when you get home, you can say things and just tear people apart. I was so ashamed, but I did not know what to do about it. I had too much pride to admit it. I did not understand demonology. I did not understand how to even go to God and get the help that I needed. I did not know that I was sitting in Satan's throne with him. I did not understand that because I was convinced in my heart. I go to church. I teach Sunday school. I believe the Bible. I was in the Baptist church and I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was a good boy, you know. And I'd say, Lord, why am I like this? Lord, help me. You know, why am I like this? And it wasn't in vain, even though I thought it was. I began to think God had turned me over and that maybe I could help others, but I couldn't help myself. But I didn't know he had a time and a place. And what I want you to know in the preliminaries this morning is you may not have come here expecting this to be your time or place, but this could be your time. This could be the place. This could be the moment. This could be the intersection in your life. If you'll open your heart, God can break that shell down. He can change your life forever if you'll let him and if you'll believe. If you'll just believe, he can do it. Because we're going to expose Satan here this morning. We're going to show him for what he is. We're going to reveal him. And in revealing him, we're going to see the nature of God, because that is the vision God gave me. Some people are so fortunate they get a vision of heaven. They get a vision of angels. They get they get taken to the third heaven like Paul did. When I was a little boy, God took me to the edge of hell. And that's how my calling started. I didn't want people to go to hell. I had no thoughts of heaven. I knew it was better than, you know, hell, of course. But my thoughts was, I don't want people to go to hell. I didn't even recognize that that was love. Just the fact that I had this burden, even though I didn't know how to treat people, I didn't know how to act, I didn't know how to show the love of Christ, that was part of the love of Christ in a way, because I didn't want people to go to hell. The definition of scorn. Now, demonic power is a very tricky thing. There are some real strong ones, and there's a lot of focus that's given to some of the strong demonic powers, like lust, for instance, you know, things like that, and idolatry, and different things. But this is definitely in the top 10, because this is the very definition of Satan's throne. Scorn, the definition. Open dislike and disrespect of, laughing at or ridiculing, often mixed with anger, aroused by something unjust, unworthy, or mean. An expression of lack of respect or reverence for something. An object of extreme disdain, a feeling of contempt for someone or something regarded as unworthy or inferior. Contempt or derision, something contemptible to look down on. Oh, my. Let's turn to Isaiah 14, verse 12. Now, it's very important that we understand what scorn is. Because to understand what scorn is, it gives us the absolute perspective that the devil sees everything through. It's the way he views God, it's the way he views you. And it will help you to defend yourself against him. And God wants to empower you this morning. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, we see a picture here of the war in heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. The devil says he's going to exalt his throne. Above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Oh my. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And in this sense, when he's saying he'll be like the Most High, he means he's going to take his place. I'll be the number one. To be like God, you have to be number one. You have to be above everything. So if he's going to be like God, he's going to be above everything, including God. He is saying, I am going to set my throne right in among the congregation, the seat of the scornful. He's going to set it right in among the congregation. He's going to exalt himself above God. He's going to make himself higher than God. He's going to make himself God. That's what he wants. Now, here's the thing. Satan's temptations are so temporal, they're so temporary. Satan's temptations are an immediate fix. They're immediate gratification. They're not long-term gratification. You know, they're like a young man. You'll see a young man, he's 16 years old, and he gets a job doing some construction work, and he starts making a few bucks an hour, and it's more money than he's ever seen before in his life. And mom and dad are there, and he goes, you know what, I'm going to quit school, and I'm going to go to work full-time. Because I've never made money like this. And all of a sudden, the voice of mom and dad just grows smaller and smaller because he is just so smart. He just knows everything. He's like, you don't understand, Dad. I can work 80 hours. I can get 40 hours of overtime. I'm making $10 an hour. Do you realize how much money that is? That's as much money as you're making, Dad, and I'm only 16 years old. You start hearing conversations like that out of young men when they get a little bit big for their britches, because that immediate gratification looks so tempting. And you say, well, yeah, son, that's great, but what about, 6 months from now when they lay you off? When they're through building that Walmart, or they're through doing, and then you're looking for another job. And then when you go to find a job with benefits, you go to the doctor's office and you spend that whole paycheck that you made for that month because you didn't have insurance, and you realize you need a job with benefits. And then you go to get a job with benefits and you find out, oh, you don't have a high school diploma. We're not going to hire you and give you a job with benefits. That young man seems so full of himself, and he thinks he's so smart, but he's not able to look down the road because he's never been down the road.
Right.
And sometimes the people of God don't realize that when God puts a gift among them, that gift can look way down the road, sometimes a little further than they can. And if they don't accept that and accept church order, then sometimes they start to use a scornful voice against that man of God. And they don't reap the benefits of his wisdom, just like the young rebellious man doesn't reap the benefits of his parents' wisdom. And it's a tragic thing. I can look into the eyes of a wayward teenager that's starting to fall away. They're starting to do things their way. They're starting to, go into the world. And I can say, you're going down the wrong path. Whether you understand it or not, sometimes you have to stay on the path you've been put on. Even if you don't understand it yet, when you look back, you'll understand.
Amen.
We went on a hike one time with the youth, and I took them on this hike, and a bunch of the boys just took off on this path. They just ran ahead of me, and they just took off on this path. And I'm standing here looking at the path we're supposed to go on and looking at the path they're running up. And I thought, okay, this is a good time for a lesson. So we hiked about 5 miles back into the middle of nothing. And we didn't make it to the overlook with the beautiful view and the expansive sight, of all those mountains stretched out before us. We were just in the middle of a big hill in the rain on the side of the mountain. And I said, we got to go back now. We're far enough along. And they were like, well, how far is it to the overlook? I said, I don't know. We're not on the right path. And they said, what do you mean? You were there, weren't you, Sister Julia? You remember that? Any of you others? Brother Jesse, James. Okay. They were on that, and they were like, well, what? I said, well, you all were leading the way. You all took off without me. And I thought, this is horrible. We were supposed to come out here for a day of fun, and they're getting this object lesson that they'll never forget. So it seemed a little bit mean of me. It seemed a little bit harsh of me, but it was a lesson that maybe they needed to learn.
Yeah.
How art thou fallen, fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Isaiah 28:14 says, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." Scornful men bring a city into a snare. In Proverbs 29, it says, "Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath." Look at this world we're living in right now. Look at how they treat Christians. Look at how they treat Christianity. Look at how they treat men of God and people of God. Now think about it. You know, when these politicians get together and they want to please the people and they want to make all the people happy and they want to do what the people want done instead of what God wants done. And think about what happens to a city. Just look at what happens to a city. Well, let's have our gay pride parade and let's have our little festivals, you know, where, you know, we can have all the booths and you can, you know, have all the homebrew beer and everybody can get tattoos and everybody can get pierced and they can come downtown and we'll play a bunch of, you know, music, different kinds of music and stuff like that. Not godly music, though. Let's, you know, that's not really allowed because that's a bummer, man. I mean, that brings everybody down. We don't want that kind of judgment. We don't want you all judging us like that. We don't want to hear this Christian stuff. You know, we've got our rights. We have our rights, and we want you to leave us alone. And the city people back it up. They're like, yeah, okay, we'll have this festival here. You know, down home they've got one called the Blue Plum Festival. You can bring your own liquor in a bottle, you can do whatever, and it's turned into debauchery. I mean, it's people just being absolute animals. You know, the police hate it when they have it, and some of the policemen have even just flat out refused to even work at the Blue Plum Festival because it's just so terrible as far as the way people are acting and the way things are done and everything, you know, and it's just awful. And they're like, well, we're revitalizing the downtown area. We're going to revitalize it. We're going to bring new businesses in. You know, we've got 15 microbreweries down there, you know, where they all have these nice, quaint, old-fashioned signs that draw people in and make them feel all cozy and warm when they're huddling up to their beers and drinking them down and their families are falling apart and their children are becoming more and more pagan every year as the time goes by and the nation is falling apart. You think that scornful men who look down on the gospel, you think that they're going to prosper a city? You think the politicians who stand against the people of God and who claim that they're fighting for gay rights and they're fighting for this and they're fighting for that, all they've brought about is turmoil. You know, all the turmoil of the 60s and all the trouble of the 60s, they've brought it back and amplified it and made it worse than it ever was before. And the more they preach tolerance, the more evil and badly they treat us. But guess what? That tickles me to death. I love it. That's placing us right in time, and that's proving God's word yet again, one more time. It's proving it. These men are so scornful, and they don't realize, you know, when you think of scorn, you think about it as being some mean person pointing in your face saying, you did this, and you did this, and blah, 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 blah. Well, you say this about me, but blah, 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 what about you? And, you know, you just, all this, and you think of that as being scorn, and you think about it being so obvious, when sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's, what do you mean you didn't take that job? That was $3 more on the hour. What do you mean you didn't take? Well, I was going to have to miss more church, and I didn't think that would be. Well, the Lord understands. You know, you've got a family to feed. The Lord understands, son. Come on. What's the matter with you? You know, you just have to work that for a while. You'll get past that, and eventually you'll get a promotion or you get a better job and all that. But right now, I mean, you've got to feed that family. I've seen so many people who give themselves over to money. We were talking about this with the young people. We mentioned it again the other night, but I'm going to hit it one more time. I don't know why the Lord keeps bringing me back to this. But if the devil can't throw you in prison, if he can't get you down with sickness, if he can't beat you down with something else, he will prosper you. If that will get you away from the Lord, that's just as bad as putting you in prison or giving you cancer. It's just as bad. It's going to damage you. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to destroy your soul the same way. I mean, it's just another snare. These men, it says, scornful men bring a city into a snare. They bring it into a trap. They bring judgment on it. What do you think the leadership of Sodom and Gomorrah was like? Just like it is now. It's exactly right, brother. just like it is now. Lot, you leave them people alone. Don't you talk against that. Why have you gotten, by the way, why, you know, your daughters, they think they're better than us. You make, don't let them cut their hair and you make them wear those dresses. They think they're better than us. They're looking down on us and judging us. It's not the Christian believers that are the scorners. See, a scorner, when you scorn somebody, you're putting yourself above them. See, that's what Satan said. I'm going to put my throne above yours, God. That's the position of scorn. That's where scorn sits, is above. You can't scorn somebody until you put yourself up above them. And I'm not talking about standing positionally like I'm up here now so that you all can see me good enough. I'm talking about putting yourself above them morally or whatever. You just put yourself above them. Where did the Lord Jesus put himself? Where did he put himself? He put himself right here. He put himself right there, didn't he, brother? That's where he put himself. Where does the devil put himself? Above everything, above everybody. He wants you to follow him, so he'll say, you follow my ways and I will give you instant gratification. I'll make you as happy as you've ever been in your life. I'll give you more money. I'll give you more fame. I'll give you more pleasure. And I'll give it to you right now. You won't have to wait on it. You won't have to wait on it at all. It's like a kid, you know, you give them money. They get money for their birthday. You really ought to take about half of it, at least stick it in the bank for them, show them a little bit, teach them a little bit about money, I guess. But if they get that birthday money and you go to Walmart or Kmart, what do they want to do? They want that little piece of junk toy that's going to fall apart for you and you can get it out of the package. They've just got to have it. They're going to cry. They're going to moan. They're going to wail. It's the end of the world. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the tears flow. The drama, it's dripping like honey. And they just fall apart because they've just got to have it. They've got to have it. Because they can't look down the road. If they just saved their money a little bit, they could get something really nice. They get something they really want, something of quality. It takes a long time for us to learn that. Some people have never learned that. And spiritually, some people never learn it. That's why hell's going to have to be increased in size. Ambitious people look at this world and they don't realize that they're sitting in the seat of the scornful when they say, I want more. I want more. I want more. There's men, I've met men in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s, who are striving so hard to make another big killing monetarily, to do something so, you know, just enormous. You know, they're going. I've met people in their 70s just recently that were just like, I'm doing this and I'm building this development and doing this. And I'm thinking, buddy, don't you know? If time goes on in just maybe 10 years, you're going to be dead. Maybe 15 years. You know, if you're really lucky, you know, if you keep your mind about you and you don't get Alzheimer's or something like that, then, you know, if you're really, really fortunate, you know, you live to be in your 90s. There's a very, very, very few that make it to 100 or above. But more than likely, I mean, what is it? What are you striving so hard for? You got a roof over your head. You got food in your belly. You got clothes on your back. Why do you need to make another million? I mean, I'm looking out for my family. I'll be able to hand that down to my children so that they'll never have to work a day in their life, so they'll never have to understand the value of a dollar, so that they'll fall right into Satan's snare. Scorn creates a trap. It creates a snare. It creates a deadly trap. A snare is not just something that captures you. It's something that catches you around the neck. If you've ever set a snare and caught a rabbit or anything like that, or a squirrel or whatever, you catch it. It gets around their neck, and it just keeps tightening and tightening and tightening and tightening until they die. The harder they struggle, the tighter it gets. About the only good thing I ever heard that Bill Gates did was not give his kids money. He didn't leave his money to his kids. It's only... I mean, humanly, that he looks like, you know, to the scientific world, he looks like a saint. We know better. But at least he didn't give his kids his money and destroy them that way. We strive for things, and the whole time we're striving, we're killing time, working our way to the grave. These people, they fight for the next dollar, and they make their living, their life, and they don't look down at their children and say, "What's going on with my daughter? What's going on in her life? What does she need right now? Maybe I should, you know, put her in the car and go for a ride and talk about, you know, her life and talk about the things of God and pray with her a little bit. Sit down and tell her the truth about this world." It looks to me like that's a little bit more important than the next account. I mean, God's our provider. Men, we're to work. We're to work and we're to take care of our families, but God's our provider. Our families, they need us. Our children, they need our time. They need it so badly, especially in this day and age. You know, one of the biggest things that Satan does is separate our children from us, and he gets them out away from us underneath our watchful eyes where he can destroy them and put things in their lives that we don't even know is entering in. And it's so destructive. It's so destructive. On a lighter note, let me ask you something. We're about to switch gears and go into something Brother Branham talked about and a quote of his. And there was something I asked the young people the other night at the first Bible study. Did Noah know Adam? Did any of you research it? Did any of you look at it? Did any of you dig into it to see? Could Noah have said, "Adam, what happened in the garden?" Did any of you look at it? I'll give you this much of a hint. Lamech died, or Adam died when Lamech was 56 years old. So it's possible. It's possible. See, one thing Satan doesn't want you to do, he does not want you to put things into perspective. He does not want you to see the true order of things and how they can come about. He doesn't want you to understand that you young people should be one with the older people. I know I beat this all the time, but you should be one. This is one body. You all are the new cells coming into the body. That's all you are. But you're the same body. Satan wants to drive with scorn a division between you all. He wants to drive a division between you and the next generation, because Satan knows if he can cut off the wisdom of that older generation, he can get at you easier. If he can drive a wedge, if he can make you think your parents are unreasonable, if he can make you think that, you know, they're too harsh, and he can keep you from seeing what they're protecting you from, then you'll see their correction is hate and vengeance instead of love and protection. He'll do it every time. It's one of the biggest division, one of the biggest things I had to work on when I started working with the young people at Happy Valley. One of the biggest things that I had to work on was I had to get them to understand, and I think most of them do, that I'm not their enemy. I'm not the mean babysitter, the enemy, the guy on the other side of the fence keeping them in the fence. That is one of your jobs as a shepherd in a sense, but you have to let them, they have to know what the definition of the fence is, that it's there for protection, not prison. And I think most of them know how much I love them. I think we've come to a point where there's a trust there and there's a relationship there where we can relate to each other and we can talk to each other and we can come to each other for prayer and support. These young people support me every bit as much as I support them, and that's the truth. So let's go into the rapture in 1965. Now we are warned, this is Brother Branham, now we are warned as the doctrine of this last day will be scorned at. If you would, let's just read that just a minute. It's in 2 Peter, the third chapter. Let's read just a moment on this, the third chapter and the third and fourth verses. Let's see if this isn't right. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they willingly are ignorant of that. Now, you've got to notice there that people are willingly ignorant. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and the water, whereby the worlds that was being overflowed with water perished. It goes back to Brother Random. Now, we see that the reason that this subject is so lauded at, in other words, people scorn it, is because that the prophet here has said that in the last days these scoffers would come saying these things. See? It's predicted. The reason people are acting today the way they're acting, that's the reason people are acting the way they are today, is because it was told that they were going to. It was predicted. It was prophesied. The prophecy is proven. The prophecy comes. When it's spoken, it's done. I promise you that. Why, you certainly are expecting it because the Bible said that. In the last days, they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness and denying the power of thereof. From such turn away. Can we look for an impersonation of truth? Certainly. You know what the scariest ones are the religious ones. They're the scariest ones. Oh my goodness, a scornful religious person is the scariest thing there is. They have this form of godliness. They're telling you this for your own good. They're putting themselves up above you for your own good. They're false accusers. They're false accusers. If that man of God is not down there where Jesus was, you better watch out. If he's the one standing up and you're the one bound down, you better watch out. If somebody's jumping all over you and climbing your tree and accusing you because they want to help you, you better watch out. They may have a demon spirit on them. And like I did in my past before I was delivered, they may know they need rid of it, but just don't know how. So don't you turn into a scorner looking back at them. Denying the power thereof. Now we see this as a false prophet standing behind a false pulpit, preaching a false gospel, denying the power of God. God doesn't do this anymore. God doesn't do miracles anymore. But what about the person who's sitting in the congregation where the truth is being preached and they're saying, I've tried and tried to change. I've prayed. I've done this. I've gone to the altar. But nothing's happened and I gave up. I gave up. What about them? They don't need our scorn. They need our support. They need our love. We can, you know, I want to encourage you. If you're sitting there and you thought, I've tried over and over and over again. And, you know, if I go up one more time, what are people going to think? I'm going to tell you what, it takes a lot of courage to get up one more time. And one day there'll be a breakthrough. And when that breakthrough comes, it's all worth it. Amen. Have you got the guts to stand against what Satan is trying to do to you? If you're sitting there this morning and Satan is trying to do something to you, you know that you're not what you're supposed to be. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. You desire to be godly, but you just don't know how to get there. That is a snare you're caught in. And if you stay in that snare and you do not call out for help, it will strangle you. It will kill you. It will take you down. Now, that's a promise. And I'm telling you right now, you don't have to stay in it. I'll also tell you the truth. You come up here for prayer. And a man of God lays his hands on you. It may not feel like lightning hits you. You may not feel a thing. But you'll know
You'll know because that stony heart of yours will break. And you'll realize that suddenly you're getting this heart of flesh. And you'll know that Jesus Christ is alive and well and walking this earth today. You'll know that he'll come right down and discern the very thought of your heart. That he'll look right into your life and he'll expose you. And he's doing it for your own good because he loves you. Because you're in a snare that you need to be freed from. He did it for me. I'm telling you, he did it for me. I was so cold. And I still suffer from those scars. I still have to fight battles against feeling that way and against being that way. I still have to fight it because the scars are there. But I have been delivered and I've been given a heart of flesh. And my wife can testify. I'm not perfect. She'll testify that probably first. But she can testify I'm not perfect. But she would also tell you that I am not the man I used to be. Amen. That God can change you. Amen. There is hope. You need, when the devil's telling you there is no hope, that you can't change, you need to have the guts to stand up and call him a liar and go to a man of God and get prayer. Do you realize? You've got to understand. I had to accept this. And I had to find out the hard way one night, late at night on the side of the road in a school bus when a demon come from a girl. I had to realize and I had to answer my calling. Me and other men of God like me are called to cast those devils out. And we have been given the authority to do it. Now, as a man, I'm nothing. I'm nothing on my own. I've got no power of my own, but God gave me this badge. He said, here's the authority. You use it, and you say it, and it will be. Amen. You prophesy, and it will be. You lay your hands on the sick. You lay your hands on the possessed, and they will be delivered. Amen. I had to come to a place where I accepted that by faith and believed it for myself before it could be real. But it is real, and you can be free. Can I get a witness? Okay. A throne is a place of power. A throne represents power. Whew, oh my. God's throne operates under the power of truth. Satan's throne operates under the power of lies. God's throne operates under the power of love. Satan's throne under hate and scornful and jealous nature. God's throne operates under the power of holiness, while the devil despises the holy and is unholy. God's throne is pure. Satan's throne is filthy. God's throne is merciful. Satan's throne is murderous and without mercy. God's throne is righteous. Satan's throne is rotten. God's throne is just. Satan's throne is crooked and unjust. God is a creator, and his throne has the power of creation. Satan's throne is of perversion. God's throne is eternal. Satan was created. He had a moment he was created, and his throne is not eternal. His reward is temporal. His reward will burn up. His gratification will die. His children who sit in his throne with him will be devoured by the flames of hell. Which throne do you want to be associated with? Which power do you want to operate under? You know, it's your choice. And you say, well, brother, only the bride's going, and no matter what, you know, we believe predestination, and you know, we're not worried because we're predestinated, and if we're going to be there, we're going to be there. That sounds a lot like Samson. That sounds a whole lot like Samson. There's also the whosoever wills. Let me tell you something. My free will took me away from God. That's the truth. That's how I discovered predestination was real. But your free will as a human being, no matter whether you're a bride or foolish virgin or what you are, if you're a whosoever will, you look to Jesus Christ, you lay your life in his hands, you give your soul to him, and watch what he'll do with it. Amen. He can grant you eternal life. That's the power he operates under. That's who my God is. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Satan had a beginning, and he'll have an end. Amen. I'm telling you, in some cases, it's just a choice. Because Satan had a beginning and an end, he looked and he said, okay, I'm closing with this, hopefully. Pray for me. He said, you know what? He said, I'm going to force my way into eternity. I'm going to plant my seed in the middle of God's children. I'm going to worm my way into that garden, and I'm going to get in there. And there's not going to be a thing. If that's his sons, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to muddy the water. I'm going to inject myself right in there. He said, I'm going to take this throne one way or another. I'm going to take it. I'm going to get in there. And through sexual sin, he interjected himself right into mankind. And he thought he was so smart. He thought he was so slick. He said, God, there's nothing you can do. Look at that Son of God right there. I'm in him. There's a part of me in that. I got that flesh. God said, well, you're forgetting something, Satan. He said, you're forgetting something. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. In the beginning was the Word. Guess what, Satan? I am that Word. The first one and the last one. And the one I'm going to say last, right before my children come home, is going to defeat your entire plan. One little word. One little thing. One little simple thing. It's just going to be one little simple thing. What is the rapture? It's just a change. So what's my last word, Satan? I'm going to look into the eyes of my beloved. And I'm going to say, change. I'm going to say, change. I'm going to say, change. And your plan's going to be defeated. When I look into the eyes of my beloved and I say, change. They're going to change. They're going to come home. And there is nothing you can do about it, you old worm. Thing you can do. There is not one thing you can do, Satan. You never had any power. You never had any love. You never had anything of any value whatsoever. Now you've got a choice. Don't let the devil tell you that because of predestination you don't have a choice. You do have a choice. Satan cannot muddy the water when God has the final say. He doesn't have the power to do it. You know what God's words are to you? When Satan tries to beat you down and tell you, you know, Satan knows if he repeats something to you enough, if he says something to you enough, that he can get you so beat down that maybe you'll give in. You're this, and you're that, and you're this, and you're that, and God thinks this, and God thinks that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you'd better do this, and you better do that. And no matter what you think, no matter how hard you try, no matter how many times you come to that altar, nothing's going to change. He'll tell you that, won't he? Won't he, sis? He'll tell you no matter how many times you come, it's not going to change. I've got you. You're not getting away. You're mine. All you got to do is get up out of the seat of the scornful. Say, I'm not going to share your throne with you, you liar. You're the father of lies. You're a liar. And I'm not believing you anymore. I'm going to believe God. Because this is what God says. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. What did you expect when you come in here this morning? Did you expect another service? Some of you made sacrifice to be here. There's a young man got his prayer answered first Bible study night because he made a sacrifice to come. Some of you are here today because of love and sacrifice. You came this morning whether you felt like it or not. And God said, you know what? I know my thoughts towards you. They're thoughts of good. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you an expected end. What end do you expect? There's something pulling right over here. What do you expect? What are you expecting? What is your end? What do you expect your end to be? What do you think God thinks about you? He said, I've got thoughts of you of peace. I'm going to give you an expected end. Which end are you expecting? Choice. He's given somebody a choice. You're going to have to nail it down. I'm telling you, I'm a witness. I'm a witness. You could say the apostles are a witness. They stood there, they watched him crucified and this and that. I'm a witness. I know he did something impossible. He did something impossible in me. I am a witness that this is the truth. I'm sitting on the throne of truth now. Thanks to my Lord and Savior. The choice is yours this morning. Let's stand. In the moment, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You're looking at a blind man who has given his sight. You're looking at a dead man who is raised from the dead. You're looking at a leper who is cleansed from his spots. You're looking at a man who is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're looking at a man who had a stony heart and has been given a heart of flesh. You're looking at a man who had his seat on the seat of the scornful and now sits in Christ's throne with him. You're looking at a witness of the power of God, of the power of the resurrection. You're looking at a witness of the true and living Jesus Christ. And there are many more among us here this morning. Many more of you out there are exactly where I am. Are you witnesses? Are you witnesses? We're not going to let Satan, we're not going to let him lie to us like he has in the past. He is being defeated. His teeth are being pulled. He goes back and forth like a lion. He is no lion. He is a toothless lying coward. He's a lying coward, but not a lion.
Amen.
Are you sick of this? Are you sick of this? If you're sick of this, it can end today. God bless you. I need to quit. It's getting too strong. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to get through this. I didn't know how you were going to come or how you were going to say it. I didn't know what was going to take place. But I'm trusting you regardless of my humanity, regardless of my frailty and my inability, Lord. I know that your word does not return void and that you were here this morning, Lord. You're making an appeal. You're making a call. Lord Jesus, please, I ask you. I ask you to have mercy. I ask you, Lord, whoever it is that you are talking to, whoever it is that needs deliverance, whoever it is that needs healing, whoever it is that needs peace, Lord, that you have promised, I ask you, Lord, to please put it upon their heart to reach out to you this morning and just receive it and to just claim it. Lord, all they have to do is speak what you've told them and it comes to pass. You know, a prophet only says what you've told him to say. And him, when he says it, that's when it comes to pass, Lord. When he says it, it comes to pass. And it's just like that with a believer. When you give your word to them and you tell them, they have the right by your authority to take a hold of that word and to change. Lord, if they'll just believe, if they'll just simply believe and just not listen to the lies of the devil. He's sitting there screaming in their ear, you'll never change, you'll never change, you'll never change. You've tried, you've tried, you've tried. You'll never change, you'll never change. Give up, give up. If you'll just, Lord, please have mercy on them and drown out that voice with yours and say, you will change. Believe me, child, you'll change. Just put your hand in mine. Lord Jesus, make yourself known to that heart today.
Yes.
Oh, Father, we're praying and believing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. We turn the service over to you, Father, to your Holy Spirit to have its way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Nathan.
Amen, amen. God bless you. Love the Lord this morning. Brother West was preaching there, and I got to thinking about a quote I just read recently. a sister had texted me a few days ago and asked me for a quote where Brother Branham, they asked him, said, "Brother Branham, is it true that no one should preach but you?" You go back and see what he said. But I sent her the quote. I said, "I've got about 20 pages more similar to that, if you'd like those." And so I sent her those, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to send do something. I'm going to search every time Brother Branham says preach, preacher, preaching, preached, whatever it would be. It's over 10,000 times, and I've only made it through about 500 and something so far reading them. But I'm going to try to read through every one of those and just add some more to that list, Brother West. But one of them that I was reading from 1952 that I'd never read before, Brother West was talking about this, and it reminded me. It's in Believing God in 1952. He says, "Now here it is, you get ready." He commissioned his church to cast them devils out. "There you are, in my name they shall cast out devils. You ain't going to heal nobody, but you're going to cast the devil away from them so they can accept the healing I've already done." That's right. Preachers stood on the platform and preached the gospels. Devils scatter. The man come to the altar under conviction, say, "I want to get saved." He never saved the man. He cast out the devil. That's right. And the man got saved. He come accepted his salvation. The same thing by divine healing. You sick people here this morning, believe that and have been born again and are sons and daughters of God. Christ has already healed you. The only thing keeps you from being well this morning is a spirit hanging over you that you won't fully let you go out yonder and believe God's promise that he's done it. That's right. "Now that's my commission," he said. "That's what God gave me. It's what he give every gospel preacher who will believe him, the power and authority to break that spirit. I believe with all my heart," he says, "that every demon power that's in here at this minute is already broken." Amen. Amen. I had this on my heart to sing all week, and I didn't know how it was going to tie in, but it ties in now. Amen. Brother Furman is going to come and help me, and Sister Stephanie, but if you know it, you sing it with me. I'm embarrassed because we got a lot of Johnson City folks, and I sure can't sing it like Harry Reagan, but I'm going to try it anyhow. If you need prayer this morning, there's gospel preachers that's anointed. We just read it. Brother Bram said to cast out devils. They can't heal you. They can't save you. But they can cast out that devil that's been trying to hinder you from being healed or saved. Amen. If you need prayer, why don't you come forward this morning? We'll pray with you. I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Oh, my chains could not hold me. I was confused, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Oh, but who is that coming on the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, oh, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you had me bound so long, but my mourning has broken. I sing victory song. Oh, 'cause there's no one greater than Jesus. Than my Jesus. Oh, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Oh, but who
is that coming from the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. For my multiple relation, so shackled with sin. Oh, but then at noonday, when the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bad.
Than Jesus.
Oh, there's no us sing it together.
Break every chain. Oh, I can't.
can happen. There is power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, I know there's power. It's in the name. Oh, what do you have need of this morning? There is power. It's in the name of Jesus. Oh, he can break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Touch. Oh, there is power. It's in. Oh, why don't you reach out and touch the hem of his garment? Oh, there is power. It's in the name of Jesus. Lord, come and break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, Lord, come and break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, Lord, your army, she's rising up. Oh, there's an army, she's rising up. There's an army rising up. Oh, Lord, come and break every chain. Oh, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain. And break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all within me bless his holy.
But the Lord just will not release me from this thought. There's somebody here he was pulling so hard on. There's somebody here, and I'm not trying to be vague. They know who they are. I know who they are. They're supposed to come up here. Please, please don't reject this call. It could be the last one. I do not do this from some habit. I'm not trying to be religious. This is the truth. I believe it with all my heart. But the Lord has shown me this. We're trusting you, Father, to pull on their heart and get them up here in Jesus' name.
Done great. holy call of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. If he's drawing you, there's no man that can draw you. You couldn't draw yourself, but he's the one that does the drawing. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh, whether I feel like it or not,
yes, Lord. Lord, please. Sweet. you forgive me this morning. I'm feeling just a little bit Pentecostal. And I want to sing this song again. Oh, it's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Oh, yes, it's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, He's right here today, and He's keeping me alive. Oh, He's keeping me alive. Oh, He's keeping me alive. Oh, He's right here today, and He's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, He is keeping me alive. Oh, He's keeping me alive. Oh, He's keeping me alive. Oh, I feel Him in my soul, and He's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, He said in His Word that He would provide. Oh, that He would provide. That He would provide. Oh, He said in His Word that He would provide. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, I know by the Word every need He'll supply. Every need He'll supply. Every need He'll supply. Oh, I know by His Word every need He'll supply. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, it's that Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, it is keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, yes, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, yes, I feel Him in my soul. He is keeping me alive. Oh, He's keeping me alive. Oh, He's keeping me alive. Oh, I feel Him in my soul. He's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, and God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him all over me. Oh, yes, my God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Oh, yes, He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, I feel Him in my hand. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. Oh, I feel Him all over me. Oh, yes, my God's not dead. Satan, we like to remind you that our God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Oh, I feel Him in my hand. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. Oh, I feel Him all over me. Oh, my, you feel Him this morning? Oh, hallelujah. I'm gonna lay down my burden. Down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, gonna lay down my burdens. Down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. 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 Well, I'm gonna try on my long white robe down by the riverside. Get to quote wars. Oh, no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna lay down my troubles down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my troubles down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. I'll sing it to him this morning. I know we're about to wear this one out, but a sister asked yesterday, could we please sing it again? I think after a service like this, we've got something to testify about.
All right.
Oh, yes, somebody ought to testify.
Sick all week, more or less, or less or more, or whatever you want to call it. Didn't want to come Wednesday night. I wasn't feeling well. I came. Didn't want to come Friday night, but I came. Didn't want to come this morning, really, but I came. So three times, I guess the Lord decided, okay, Bill, you kind of passed a little bit of a test.
Hallelujah.
Devil woke me up at 6 this morning, battling me with battles. He knows where to hit us, right? So thank you, Brother Wes, for your sermons. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for deliverance and healing. I heard Brother Branham say one time, you want your healing? He said, pray for somebody else. So we did. Wednesday night, Friday night, tonight, praying for Brother Wes while he's preaching, knowing he was fighting a battle. Been there, done that. Thank the Lord. But he's healed me, and he wanted to sing. Somebody want to testify? Praise God. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. I want Brother West to testify too this morning.
I struggled for years with this tongue and the evil that could come out of it, and the Lord delivered me so much, but this morning, the Lord showed me something. He started dealing with me about this subject that I preached today quite a few weeks back. I had no idea who was going to be here or what was going to be going on. I had no idea, you know, what individuals anyway would be here for sure. And last night he put it on my heart real strong, and he kept bringing somebody to mind, and I didn't know why. You would think me and this person are as far apart as the East is from the West. You wouldn't see any similarity probably in us at all. But I saw there was an old familiar spirit. My heart got broken. And I thought, surely, Lord, no. I love this person so much. I always have. I love the saints of God. I mean, I'd say that about any single one of you. But I've always loved this person and had a sort of a respect for him because they held a real high standard. I didn't know that they were dealing with the same thing that had a hold of me at one time until the Lord revealed it all and put it all in place. And I saw, wow, he gave me the message he gave me. And when he told me that they were supposed to come up, I was scared in my human spirit. I was a little nervous because I thought, Lord, if they're half as hard-hearted as I was, it may take more time. What are you doing? Brother Layton chose to go over and get the microphone and make me speak it out loud, and it terrified me to speak it out loud, but I did it in faith.
Amen.
And the Lord answered, and the person that the Lord revealed to me came up, and I just want to encourage that person. I want to encourage them and let them know that they're highly favored of God.
Amen.
And that because of that critical spirit has come against them so hard, and they're so intelligent, and they're so observant, and they're so discerning in their natural makeup, that before they get out that door back there, the devil's going to try to diffuse the whole thing. And that takes a while to overcome it completely. You have to work at it, and you have to realize that whenever the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind that you're going too far and that your tongue's getting too sharp, don't let it condemn you and drive you back to the place where you were at. But just realize that's the Holy Spirit saying, okay, here's a little reminder. You need to let up and ask forgiveness and tell the person you're sorry and encourage them instead of tearing them down. And it's very embarrassing for me to admit this in front of everybody, because that's not something you want to tell people, that you used to be so mean-spirited, that you used to hurt people so much. You don't want to get up in front of your brothers and sisters and admit that, but it undresses the devil. It kills him. It kills him when you undress him. It just embarrasses him. It's like dragging a child molester out in public and branding him. It defeats him. Nobody will trust him anymore, and he can't do any more damage. And that's what I want to do to the devil. I want to just drag him out, pull his teeth right in front of everybody.
Amen.
And I just want to thank the Lord.
Yes.
Because he put me in a scary spot, saying somebody needs to come, because the Lord showed me that they were going to, and I was afraid to just, in faith, speak that out, but he made me do it, and he had that brother encourage me to do it, which I needed probably. And I just want to encourage that person and give a testimony at the same time. God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Amen. You say, well, who was it, Brother Nathan? There was a lot of people that came up after he said that. Doesn't matter to you who it was. What matters is that God loved them enough to put that on Brother West's heart when he didn't want to say it. He thought that much about them to put it on a man's heart that didn't want to say it, and then loved them enough to put enough conviction in their heart to come. Amen. I've heard so many times on tape Brother Bam say, there's more that should come, and just hear how brokenhearted he is when they don't come. You don't know what that's like to have the weight of the burden on something. You know God's trying to get it across to somebody, and they're sitting there resisting it. So to see somebody come when he's calling, what a blessed thing. What a blessed thing. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Oh, God is good. Amen. He's not just mindful enough. If he would do that for one person, what about you? He's that mindful of you that he could speak. Maybe when a man is even trying to hold back and say, God, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. God would work around that man's nature and his character and his will and say it anyhow. Even if he's got to use another brother to encourage him or whatever it takes. Say it anyhow. God loved you that much. What about all the rest of us? He loves us that much too. He loves you enough. If he loved you enough to come and die for you, to send the prophets to you, to send ministers and gifts and things, he loves you. He cares about you. He's concerned about you this morning. Amen. Let's sing it before we go. Oh, yes, somebody ought to testify.
somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, for my God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, well, somebody ought to testify. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. There'll be no more. until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. Oh, I could never, ever outlove my Lord. I want to just want to thank you. Oh Jesus, we just want to thank you. Oh Jesus, we just want to thank you. Serve him. Oh Jesus, we just want to serve you. Oh Jesus, we just want to serve you. Oh Jesus, we just want to serve. Supply.
On earth I long
Sister Christy came up for prayer. Her ear was closed up, and she was having trouble, and her the pain was up into her head and down in her neck, and her ear was closed up, and she couldn't hear, and it was just really bothering her. And she came up for prayer, and when we were up here praying for her, the healer came.
Amen.
And set her free. Her ear opened up, and she can hear now. And she said she had always had trouble with hearing, but like now her hearing's actually sensitive. And so, you know, sis, is there anything else I can add to that? Or is that? I tell you what. The Lord is real.
Amen. I'll just add to that what he did for Sister Christy, he can do for those that need that too. He's still the God that heals, looses the bound up, delivers the addicted, opens the hearing to the deaf, and the sight to the blind. Amen. Sing it, Brother Furman.
Sing this with us. It's 257.
Oh, there.
Read.
release the soul from sin.
The scenery there was so dope. If that
these second services. Amen. Let's sing this together. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Satan might try to lie to you when you go out these doors, but I want to tell him this. Oh, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, till my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, like Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with my Lord. Oh, but instant with the courage bold, I stood upon his word. So now I would not be denied. You don't have to be. Oh, I would not be denied till my Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be. Restore my soul unto the Lord, I cried. Oh, till my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be. My Lord was gone and he would not hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work's already done, and Christ my Lord, he is here. So now I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied until my Jesus came. Well, old Satan says that this message is wrong and there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God is revealed. So now I would not be. Oh, till my Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Amen. Somebody ought to testify. Amen. God bless you.
Well, when I woke up this morning, I was tired. Like, I did not want to come here at all. And I knew the only way that I was going to wake up is if I just drew the shades back. And the sun was right there, and I did not want to do that either. But I drew the, and it just hit me in the face, and just the warmth, I couldn't just see it, but I could just feel it, and it was like love. And I go downstairs, and Brother West comes in the room, and the conference room where we were all sitting, and whenever you walked in there, I could just feel a presence of almost just the presence just lowered, like he had something on his heart, and I could just feel it. And on the way to church, I sat up in the front with him in the van, and I could tell that he just had this huge burden on his heart. And usually I have really, really bad trouble just like paying attention in service, not just because like I can't pay attention, it's just I'm just really fidgety. And today I just locked on, and I've just been going through all kinds of troubles and having doubt that, you know, I was seeing all my friends, you know, in church praising God, and I was like, I'm trying and I'd feel his presence, but I wouldn't be able. I didn't think I was ever going to make it in the rapture. I just thought, I was like, And when he said that to come up and get prayed, I didn't have a second doubt. He said, when he was preaching, that he's like, you gotta get over that, you know, you'll be embarrassed by your friends, and just come up here and you'll break through. And I was always like, you know, I can't do that. And in a little church in Indiana, where there's few people than my home church, I came up, and all the doubt and fear of me not being able to make it, it's just gone. And I have peace in my heart.
Amen, amen. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
I think what he's trying to tell the devil is, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, till my Jesus came and he made me whole. I would not be denied. Oh, well, Satan said, my Lord was gone, and he would not even hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work's already done, for Christ my Lord, he is here. So now I would not be denied. Boo, devil. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Till my Jesus came, and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Amen, amen. Amen. I just don't know where to stop when his presence is here, Brother Hoover. Amen. Amen. Somebody else is going to testify.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, excuse me.
All right. Blessing
the Lord. I think it was the last time, Brother West was in. I, throughout my life, I've been dealing with a certain spirit that just attacked me, and throughout my life, I've fought a certain spirit that just would attack me and drag me down. And even after I got the Holy Ghost, it would still come back. It would still attack me and drag me down. And the devil started convincing me that was part of life. You're just going to deal with that the rest of your life, and there's no deliverance from it. You're just going to fight it. Just fight it. You're going to fall. You're going to get up. You're going to keep going. And by the grace of God, every time I fell, I'd keep going. You know, the soldier fights, he falls down, but the soldier that wins just gets up and keeps going. So if the devil's fighting you with something, whatever it is, and you keep falling to it, don't ever let him convince you that you're done. Because victory is just standing up again. So I would just stand up again, I'd fight it, I'd keep moving. And I think it was the last time Brother West was in, when he was preaching, something just struck me that, and he may have even said something along the lines of, you can be completely delivered of things that, you know, the devil says you're going to deal with that the rest of your life. And it may be a sickness for somebody or something. They say, I've got this, you know, yeah, I'm going to have to deal with it all for the rest of my life. For instance, I'm just going to pick on Brother Joe real quick. He's in a car accident. He's had some ways where he can't move his body just perfectly. And the devil, no doubt, has told him for years, you're never going to get completely through that. That's a lie of the devil. And we've seen over the years, just since he's come to the church and so on, we've just seen the little bits that the devil has lost and that Brother Joel has gained. And just in my life, just the things that the devil was dealing me, dragging me down with, I've seen great improvement. And I've beaten him on so many fronts with the help of God. And then this one would keep coming back. And like I said, it was the last time Brother West was in. My wife had come up to get prayed for something else. And she had told him that she was praying for me, I believe, when she was getting prayed for. And so she just said, I want to pray for him. And then she didn't know I was already walking out here to be prayed for. And the Lord broke that chain. Completely broke that chain. Now, does that mean I don't fight it anymore? No, but I'm on the hilltop fighting now. It's a different battle. I've been down below, and the devil's been shelling me, and I've just been taking it and fighting and keeping fighting, But now I'm on the hilltop because of God's deliverance, and I still fight, and I still, but I'm fighting down on the devil, and it's so much easier to fight that way because you've got the deliverance. He's going to keep coming back no matter what you get delivered from, if it's, you know, whatever headaches that my wife's just been delivered of. She still fights them because the devil isn't giving up just yet, but he's going to, because she's healed as well. Anyway, I just want to encourage you young people especially, but us older folks too, that if something attacks you for a long time, and even the minister brothers, God can deliver from whatever the devil attacks you with.
Amen.
You know, you may have been fought it all your life. Whatever it is, he's a deliverer, and he can take care of it. And yeah, maybe you'll fight it still, but it's a totally different fight from the top of the mountain. One quick point on that. When I was in Israel several years back, I know Brother Darrell's been there. There's so much fighting going on over there. I saw these signs hanging on, these banners hanging from the balconies of some buildings. And I asked our tour guide, I said, what's that say? He said, it says, don't give up the Golan Heights. And he said, because when Syria controlled the Golan Heights, they could just bomb them anytime they wanted. And they couldn't do it. Their supply road was right down there below it. They would bomb it every time they wanted. And they couldn't fight back very well. But once they got that victory, that mountain, once they claimed that mountain, then the government's trying to say, well, we need to give something back in this by giving them the Golan Heights. And they said, never give up the Golan Heights, because that's the high ground.
Amen.
And when the devil fights you and you get delivered from something, don't ever give up on it. Don't ever say, well, you know, maybe I'll just didn't get delivered. No, say, I'm delivered, but you're still fighting, and I'm going to fight you back, and I have the high ground. So, praise the Lord, I have the high ground, and I just wanted to testify.
Well, I'm going to testify and try not to cry, because I don't know if I can get through it without breaking down, Brother Hoover. But I grew up as a little boy watching Brother Donnie Reagan play guitar and preach and Harry Reagan sing and have all these people from Johnson City. I was a little intimidated today. I thought, what can we do for them with what they sit under? And to see you all get blessed like you did today, you don't know what it did for us too. Amen. The same Holy Ghost is everywhere. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Anybody else have a testimony before we go?
Brother Wes said earlier to you young people, he said that you're the new cells in the body, but you're all the same body. It's all the body of Christ. And sometimes you think you're fighting by yourself. But you know how when you get an itch, your hand just reaches over and scratches it? Well, that's because we're a body.
Amen.
And sometimes you don't realize who's praying for you.
Yes.
And sometimes the person that's praying for you doesn't realize why.
Right.
But when you gave your testimony, I knew why I had the burden I did when you came up. Because I've been right where you were.
Thank you,
I don't know you. You know that. I know nothing about you. But when you sit here, it was like I was at the altar all over again as a young person standing there. And I just kept praying the same prayer that I prayed for myself when I stood there. And when you got up and you gave that testimony and you said, it's done, it's finished, I felt that all over again too for myself. But just like you reach over and scratch, when I pray for you, it's the same body. It's the same thing. And God gives burdens to different people for different things. Last night, I couldn't sleep. I've battled insomnia for a while. But just periodically, for no apparent reason, I had no idea what Brother West was going to preach this morning, God would stop me right where I was at. and I would stop and pray for Brother Wes, and I'd pray for Sister Lisa. And I know they had some trouble sleeping in the hotels and stuff. But last night at 12:34, God stopped me in my tracks, and he was like, pray now, pray hard. And I prayed like I hadn't been praying. I've been like, you know, Lord, bless Brother Wes and Sister Lisa and help them get rest. And you know, but I just stopped right then, and I prayed. And I told Brother Wes before the service, I said, at 12:34 last night, God stopped me and told me to pray. He said, and I know why. So it's a confirmation when God gives you a burden, and then you see the fulfillment of that burden. You see why you had that burden. And we're all a body. We're all together in this. It's not you and your battle and me and my battle, or we're all a part of this. It's all the same body. I don't care if you're in Johnson City or here. It doesn't matter. We're all the same body, and we're pulling together.
Amen. It's a body move. That's what we've been trying to tell the people. It takes the whole body working together. Amen. Anybody else want to testify before we go? Sister Janet, go right ahead.
I just want to thank God for the privilege to be able to come and be a part. And just like Brother West preaching about the scornful thing, you know, like having grandkids and kids and you know, the youth, and you get older, and sometimes they think, well, they don't know what I'm going through, but they forget that, you know, we were young and teenagers once and went through, you know, similar horrible trials and battles like they've been, you know. And I just thank God that he's, you know, exposing that gap that the devil tries to do between the youth and the older, and he's trying to merge that together, that there's a wisdom there that we can draw from, you know, and expose it to the young people, you know, that, you know, we've been through so many hard trials and all, and I've felt the Lord many times, and I just want to thank God for being here and the testimonies I've heard about the healing that's been done through this church and the ministry, and you know, just Christy and all, like last year when Brother Donnie came, and I just seen how God was doing such a healing with so many people, you know, and just want to give him praise and Amen. Thanks for what he's done.
Amen. On the other side of that, God help us older ones not to be scornful of the younger ones and forget that we were stubborn young people one time too and didn't take advice. Amen. 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 God bless you. Anybody else before we go? All right. Brother Jimmy, why don't you just come dismiss us in a word of prayer before we go? It's been good to be in his presence. My, what a service. Amen. I told Brother West, I said, well, you got the devil down today. Why don't you just kick him in the teeth real good? So I believe we've done that. Amen.
With the help of the Lord.
Our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord. You're so awesome, Lord. Lord, we're such a blessed and privileged people. How we just don't want to leave your presence, Lord. So, Father, we don't have to. You go with us. Father, we're just dismissing from this place, but not from your presence. So, Father, as we dismiss, Lord, we ask you to go with each and every one. Keep us safe. Bring us back at the appointed time, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bless Brother Wes, Lord, and give him rest for his body, Lord. And, Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to watch over us. Keep us in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's just sing this as we go.
Oh, there is none like